Hello, everyone. Thanks for listening to Leading Better and Growing Faster with Joe and TJ. I'm Joe.
And I'm TJ.
And we are the Schoolhouse 302,
where you can find blog posts,
podcasts with expert guests,
curated book recommendations,
and our genius thoughts.
Always on a topic that has proven to help you lead better and grow faster.
If you want to support the show, all you have to do is hit us with a like, a share, a follow, or a comment
on our site or on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, or wherever you access our material.
Again, thanks for listening and for leading better and growing faster with us.
Here we go with another great episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Leading Better and Growing Faster podcast. We are thrilled to have an esteemed superintendent with us, Glenn Robbins. Glenn, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We know by understanding the challenges of school leadership, we can develop better solutions for our students. Glenn has just written a bestseller already, Calm into Chaos. We're thrilled for him. TJ, why don't you tell our audience a bit more about Glenn?
I'd love to, Joe. Glenn Robbins is the proud superintendent of the Brigantine Public School District in Brigantine, New Jersey. He has served as a public school superintendent in New Jersey since 2016. Prior to becoming a superintendent, he was a middle school principal, a high school assistant principal, a high school social studies teacher, and a high school varsity coach. He's a best-selling author of Calm in the Chaos, Ancient Stoic Wisdom for Successful School Leadership, and a sought-after speaker. We're going to talk about that book here in a minute. Glenn has been awarded numerous administrative national and state recognitions, including, and get ready for this, the National Exemplar of Education Award, Northeast Innovative Superintendent Award, the New Jersey Visionary Superintendent Award, Digital Promise League of Innovative Schools Member, NASSP Digital Principal of the Year, Samsung Solve for Tomorrow's Winner Award, and the SETDA Student Voice Award. He's also been invited to the White House and the U.S. Department of Education several times. He's the proud recipient of the National Superintendent Certification and serves as an AASA National Governing Board Member, AASA Aspiring Superintendent Mentor, and Chair of the NJASA Technology Committee. That's a mouthful, Glenn. That's a lot going on for you. He's recognized across the globe for his innovative school and district improvement methods and has been featured in numerous conferences, books, podcasts, and other publications. He's passionate about helping school leaders create schools where every student and educator can have the opportunity to succeed to their utmost potential in a VUCA world. We're going to come back to that VUCA because we didn't know what that was until we first talked to you. So Glenn, we're going to dive right into this conversation about multifaceted challenges of school leadership with an emphasis on your recent book, Calm in the Chaos. Its focus on stoicism. We're big stoicism guys, right? We follow Tim Ferriss. We're up on all the stoic stuff, but let's get started for anybody who's not into this. Tell us about stoicism and how you're connecting that to school leadership.
Yeah. So as a school leader, for many years, I've always focused on leadership and, you know, thinking that the world's been around for a long time and we've had rulers and leaders all over the world. And the ones that really hit me is, you know, posting a lot of quotes were always the Stoics. And something that my grandfather would always say to me, would always ground me in my way, which is not the problem you have, it's how you handle it. So I always try to figure out where he got that from. So I double majored in history and in education at undergrad and just got involved more and more in my readings and so forth. And really took a liking to Epictetus and how it helped, you know, James Stockdale when he was in Vietnam and, you know, talking about Theodore Roosevelt, how it helped ground him at times. And all these other leaders throughout our history have always referenced back to Marcus Aurelius and Seneca, you know, Cicero and Cato and all these other, these gentlemen from all over the parts of the globe. And something must be going on. All these incredible leaders are referencing them. And, you know, when we think about it as a leader, not much has changed when it comes to human emotion, right? We deal with emotion each and every day. We'd like to say we deal with logic. A lot of times we're dealing with emotional fires and we have to be grounded and calm when making these decisions. Because if not, all it takes is one domino to fall over the wrong way and we've lost a day or a week or a month or even worse.
Glenn, let's dive into the book a little bit. What are some major takeaways the reader can get from reading this? What can they learn? We obviously want them to embrace the ideas behind the Stoics, but really that's a behavior. Like you said, it's a logical, non-chaotic approach to possibly chaos at times. What do you want the reader to learn? And what should they be able to take from this at the end? It's a short, powerful book filled with vignettes. So can you dive into that for us?
Yeah, and I think that's something that my co-author and I, Dan Bauer, really focused on. We focused on short and powerful because as educational leaders, you are constantly on the go. You don't really have that much time to sit down. So we wanted to put something in practical use right away for you. And we look at it like this too. And you gentlemen do this a lot. You know, I work with a lot of aspiring people in administration. And administration has lost so many incredible leaders over the last couple of years for a chaotic world that we live in. You know, you don't have to look too far on the internet pages to see someone getting fired, removed, retired, whatever it may be, moving on to something else. And that's a great concern to me because, you know, if it's not us, then who? And who are going to lead our staff and who are going to lead our children and who are going to, you know, are the right people there? And are we helping them to rise up? So, you know, Danny and I talked about this, that we had heroes and we had anti-heroes throughout our journeys as administrators and as educators. And we learned what not to do and what to do from certain individuals. So what we tried to do is look at it from a lens like, how could it help the person reading the book, but also how could it help that person reading the book with his or her leadership team? So in each area, we talk about wisdom, we talk about temperance, we talk about justice, we talk about forgiveness, courage, right? That's a big one. And then the final one, if you can bring it all together, is the equanimity, which is literally impossible to do, right? Trying to bring all these things together. But in each area, we showcase or share a story that we've gone through that I think will resonate a lot with each administrator because more than likely they've had something similar. And then we tie it into the Stoics and how they had to lead and so forth. You know, whether it was Marcus Aurelius, when he was the emperor of a country, he had a plague going on. He had people trying to backstab him. You know, his Senate would always try to go against him at times. So it's like dealing with the board or committees or whatever it may be. And in the process of this, he's trying to run a country and he's trying to stay calm. You know, and I think about that, like, isn't that almost like every school leader's job right now? Like you have so many different fires going on and how do you try to relate to that person that they did it successfully? How can you try to tie into that in some way? And then we do a practice, you know, and the practices are to help, you know, your administrative team. And it's intentional. It's an intentional process to sit down and say, all right, this is a scenario. If this happens here, how are we going to work on this together? You know, what is the outcome of this? Because ultimately, you gentlemen know this, our job is to create more leaders, right? So if we're not properly teaching our administrative staff or our teacher leaders or whoever it may be, our board members or committee, council, mayor, whatever it may be, if we're not working with them with those intentional conversations on how we can address these situations moving forward, then what are we doing? You know, the world has enough followers. We need more leaders. And we need the right leaders to stand up. And with Stoicism, like I said, it's been around for years and people always go back to these different quotes and how it relates to them.
Glenn, can we dive in deeper on the Stoic wisdom and some of the things that you gravitate towards or that you would share with leaders as either practices or mantras of a sort, if you will? Like we're big fans of Ryan Holiday, stillness is the key, meditation, like we're going down that route, but like, if you would just say for school leaders, here's a couple of things that the Stoics believe that we should believe and that we can build into our daily practice.
Yeah, so that's a really great question. And, you know, it's sort of like, here's a quote from Marcus Aurelius. If at some point in your life, you should come across anything better than justice, honesty, self-control, courage, it must be an extraordinary thing indeed. So, you know, I look at it like this. I work in a shore community, so I see the waves a lot. So one of Marcus Aurelius' quotes that I really resonate in this is, I'm the stone, the rock on the beach. And those waves are coming in, crashing over top of me. You know, I have to remain unturned. I have to remain focused on what I need to do. You know, another one you can think about, and this is something that I really try to focus on. You gentlemen see it a lot. There are people that say they've read a lot of books, right? And they're going to try to change the practice, whatever. But there's a lot of pen and ink philosophers instead of the actual courage to step up and do the philosophy and actually do the actual work. And that goes back to Epictetus. He says, just don't say you've read books. show through them that you've learned to think better, to do more discriminating and reflective person. Books are a training weight to the mind. You know, so I see people who are saying they're crushing, you know, a certain amount of books every month or whatever it may be, but what are you taking from that? And what are you doing to help elevate your staff and your kids and your community to do so? So, you know, things like that. I also think about like Epictetus, where he talks about how, you know, he was a slave and he eventually became free, but he had his leg broken and his leg was broken by his master. And he says, all right, that's, you know, you've done this to me and this is how I'm going to be moving forward. But he doesn't look at it like something of detriment to him. He continues to move forward. He continues to deal with life. So all these different quotes that I just reference is being unturned as the waves, some are giant, some are small. And we deal with waves all day long. You're constantly seeking wisdom to get better. But how do you showcase that wisdom? And then lastly, when things do hurt you, how do you react to that? So, you know, I think those areas of practicality are things that really focus to me, you know, on how, you know, Stoicism, and I could go on for hours about so many other quotes, but for the time in the podcast, I think those are okay to talk about right now.
I love the analogy about the ocean, the shore, the rock being steadfast, regardless of what's hitting it. And it's wise, Glenn, you know, because, you know, there's the everyday and sometimes the ocean's settled. And then there's times when there's a hurricane that rolls through, especially through the East Coast. And it's much, much rougher and it's destructive. I want to shift gears a little bit. We have some leadership questions that people love to listen to, but I want to ask one and tie it also to this idea of equanimity. And I'll be honest, I wasn't that familiar with this term until I read Ed Milet's Power of One One More. And he has a fascinating chapter on it. But this idea of like peace and composure, you know, really amplifying what it means to be a Stoic. If there's one thing that someone, a leader, should do on a daily basis that could make a difference for them to be more like a Stoic, what would that be? What's that practice on a daily basis to learn it? Because it is a skill. You can't just say, listen, today I'm going to be still. It doesn't work, you know, and we all have personalities, right? I'm hyper. So I like the passion. I like the excitement, but I can't have people confuse that for erratic or uncontrolled or undisciplined or hurried, right? So I got to temper that. So what's that one thing that someone should do, that leader should do on a daily basis?
Yeah, great question. And you're talking to a New Jersey guy with a lot of fire and passion. So, and it's a Philadelphia fan. So if you would ask me this question 10, 15 years ago, I'd give you a completely different answer. Being in the field for so long and you see so many things over the years, it doesn't start to surprise you anymore. But I think one thing that really keeps me grounded is something I started years ago, gratitude walks, right? Taking a 10, 15 minute walk, reflecting on 3 to 5 things that were awesome in your day that you're beyond thankful for. And I think that helps, you know, and I think a lot of times we get so caught up in our chairs and our office that we feel the whole weight of the world is coming down on our shoulders, similar to those waves, right? And they're crashing hard. And then you start, you know, the imposter syndrome starts kicking in. But for me, it's like taking those walks. It's also getting outside. It's also taking a step back from where you are. And, you know, we can always say, and this is the best one, right? It's go play with the kids, go talk with the kids, go, you know, interact with our kids in our schools. And I love that. Sometimes you got to stand outside those buildings and just look at what the bigger picture is. And like I said, you have to be grateful. When you start training your mind each and every day, sort of like running, right? When you get into that habit, you start training your mind on different quotes and or myself, my grateful habit. And I'm walking forward each and every day. You know, I could say one day it could be, I'm thankful I woke up. I'm thankful that my kids have a top-notch education and I'm thankful I have a roof over my head. Right? I could be thankful I'm healthy. Or, you know, it evolved. I'm really thankful that this teacher is doing this lesson right now to really push these kids forward. Or I'm really thankful, you know what, that somebody in the community did write something on Facebook on that one page that we all have. And it's making me think maybe we should adjust or change something for the better. You know, so you look at it as everything can be an opportunity, you know, and as we said, we're in the Northeast, guys, and it's a grind up here. And it's a different type of world. It's a dog eat dog world. But you have to be grateful for all these things. I wasn't here 10, 15 years ago. This is where I wanted to be. Now that I'm here, am I thankful for that? Or am I chasing the next mountaintop? And that's our goal, is to get better each and every day. But if I'm not training my mind to be grateful and gratitude, then I'm not going to be, to you said, that calm person that when a staff member comes running into your office or hallway or wherever you may be or at a board meeting, everybody's eyes are on you. And the number one trait as per Forbes magazine right now for leadership is calmness. So I want somebody to go to and have a conversation that can be calm and give me somewhat of a decent question or a decent answer to reflect back on. So that that's how I get to that point, just continually be grateful. Like you said, with Ed Milet, you know, I listen to his podcast, read his books and so forth, and so many others. And those are other practices that you can do. But that's just a simple one that I gave with 3 to 5, you know, gratitude walk for 15, 20 minutes, whatever it may be, taking in some fresh air, taking a step back and realizing the good work that you are doing and your staff's doing and how, you know, you're blessed to be alive. You woke up that day.
It's such a good perspective, and it's important for our brains. Like, there's a lot of brain research behind the gratitude. I think it's, you know, it's a great piece of advice for school leaders because we can do it anytime. We can do it today. Take a step back, get outside. There's so many nuances there that are important. I just read recently too, that grounding, like literally our physical touch to the ground, whether it's sand or dirt or grass or whatever, can actually change our physiological approach to the world for a short period of time, and that we should be doing that as often as possible. So the outdoors in and of itself is a key aspect of it, and everybody has access to it. And we all have things that we can be grateful for in life, and just to be reminded of that. But it has to be intentional, right? Because it's such a grind, like you said, that if you're not putting that first and putting it out as a strategy and forcing yourself into those scenarios, you aren't training your mind to be there. So I just want to underscore what Glenn's saying here about that. It's training. It's practical. It's on purpose. Glenn, you mentioned Ed Milet. We've mentioned Ryan Holiday. You talked about the Stoics. Are there other people? We ask, you know, is there one person that everybody should be following? You don't have to stick to one, but is there other people who you follow their work? Where can we find them?
Yeah, great question. I'm a big, big Ryan Holiday fan, obviously, like you gentlemen are. Love Robert Greene's work. I could read his work. You have to read his in chunks because it's just so strong, so powerful. You can't read the whole book in a day. You read like a chapter. You know, I think about my friend Damon West, the coffee bean author. You know, if you follow him at all, he wrote with John Gordon. Great man, great work that he's doing. And once again, it's all about the mindset. Chris Singleton, if you've ever talked to Chris Singleton before or heard him speak, an amazing, he's probably the strongest human being I've ever met. You know, he lost his mother. He's an African-American fellow from Charleston, South Carolina. His mom was at a Bible study for several hours, and there was a white supremacist there and ended up shooting her at Bible study and many others. And the next day, he's on national television. And he forgives his mother's shooter and brings the whole community together. You know, we've lived in a world where we've seen the opposite happen and it becomes very ugly. But the Chris, what he does and talks about, you know, he does it for moms. He does it. There's no such greater thing than love. And I think that's something that always resonates with me. You know, here's an individual who had it so bad, but yet took an opportunity to make it so much better for everyone. So Damon, Chris Singleton, I could go on for hours. My favorite superintendent friends that I talk to all the time, who have been a blessing in my life, or Mike Lieberfeld and Nick Polyak. They've helped me out since I was a principal and actually an assistant principal. They didn't care who I was. They just cared about helping me out and grow. So I'd highly recommend that. Obviously, my co-author, Danny Bauer, you know, he does a lot of great work and he's a great human being for all the right reasons and trying to help other leaders grow. But I could go on for hours. One person that maybe is not on anybody's radar yet is Ryan Holiday's understudy and research person, Billy Oppenheimer. I'm not sure if anybody follows him. He does the Sunday Six. So if you go into him, research Billy Oppenheimer. He is the research assistant for Ryan Holiday, and he puts out the Sunday Six, and he puts out some incredible blog posts each every Sunday about perseverance, about people who have, you know, gone through some unique circumstances. And I've been able to use that and share that with my leadership team. So they're just a couple, guys. I could go on for hours about people who have helped me on my journey.
Yeah, we appreciate that though, Glenn, because we do try to narrow it down so people know, look, I can look at these individuals, they can guide me, whether we know them personally or not, right? The amount of information out there is critical, and it's something we have to curate because not everyone is received the same way. So you may like someone that I don't. I really appreciate you mentioning Chris Singleton and Billy Oppenheimer. And true story, just today, I was talking to a student who's in the Academy of Finance at one of our schools, Howard High. Asked him, what is he reading? And he said, Robert Greene, Mastery. I was like, you gotta be kidding. 17-year-old kid. I was so impressed. So impressed.
Bravo, man. Bravo.
Yeah. I was like, dude, I told him, I said, I had not heard of Robert Greene until like several years ago, you know, but I mean, I certainly wasn't 17. Mm-hmm. And I actually think I didn't even realize his work until I recognized that 50 Cent wrote the 50th Power, which led to me knowing, oh, there's other powers by Robert Greene. So, hey, whatever takes you there, you go. I also want to make sure the audience realizes that you mentioned other people that just within your network, mm-hmm. you know, and you can't overstate the importance of having having individuals that just keep you sharp, just keep you on point, there to support. So right now, if you're listening and you don't have someone and have that network, reach out to us, reach out to Glenn. You know, this is what it's about. This is a tough job. You know, we're trying to remain calm in the chaos. And the more like people you're around, the better. Glenn, let's dig in a little bit about your growth. You've mentioned authors. You're a really well-respected superintendent, ton of accolades leading even up to that position. What's one thing that continues to support your growth? Are there things that you do to grow as a leader, whether it's, you know, the 1% rule, other ways that you just know, look, I got to get better as a leader. How do you accomplish that?
That's a great question. We love the 1% rule. I look at it from the lens as a father. I look at it from the lens of a husband. So, you know, I have young children. I have a 12-year-old son and I have a 4-year-old daughter. And I continuously think about what is the world that they're growing into. And I know we always say that we create the world. We design the world and the world designs us back, right, as we continue forward. But for me, you know, they obviously need mathematics. They need the ELA. But, you know, we're talking cybersecurity now. We're talking artificial intelligence. And these are classes, we already have cybersecurity in our 8th grade. And now next year, we're going to infuse the AI class as well. You know, and then what's next after that? So I think as I look at it from the lens of a father, being compassionate to parents and understanding where they're coming from, I also look at it from the lens of the student, that all of our furniture, some of our classes, some of our scheduling have been redesigned because of their input. You know, we always say student voice. How many people actually give them a voice? And I'm not talking like, hey, they picked a theme day. I'm talking about like, did they actually help with the infrastructure in the building? Did they help pick out which Chromebooks you're going to use? Did they help pick out which website shouldn't be blocked? You know, are they helping out with the redesign of the cafeteria? Are they helping out with the mantra? We completely redid. You know, people can say, oh, I did my mission statement and my vision statement. That's great. All right. But we take it a step further. We redesigned the mantra, what it means to be in our school. And that was all kid-led and staff-led. So I look at it from the lens that I am so far from being the all-knowledgeable person that should be leading the school. I look at it like my staff provides so much valuable input. My kids provide so much valuable input. My community members, my board, my council, our mayor, you know, and the parents. Like I said, whether it's good news or bad news, they're helping design our school and our districts. And if we're not open to taking in some of this advice and creating our school, you know, and you try to make it your school, you're not going to have a school very long. You're not going to have a district very long. You know, so I look at it like, you know, you have to, we talk about being growth mindset. We talk about being a lead learner, but are you really doing that? You know, so for me, we evolve each and every year as a district. And I think that's something that my staff feels the psychological safety, knows that they can fail, but they're not going to fail, knows that they can try to take risks and they can continue to do this. And our kids see that, you know, we created class periods where it's ungraded and they do more in those classes than some of the other classes, you know, so we constantly evolve and we're constantly asking the questions, how can we get better? Because that's the ultimate goal, right? Is to design a future that's better for the kids, better for our society, and better for our future leaders that our kids are.
Yeah, those are all, I mean, listen, I'm taking tons of notes right now, mindset, psychological safety, Amy Edmondson's work, and just what it means to have a culture where people feel safe, student voice. Man, I mean, there's just so much packed into what you were just saying. I also think that it's a good place to kind of wrap up, Glenn, because it's a call to action for our leaders who are listening. Are you the lead learner? Are you behaving as the lead learner? Are you creating an environment where people can take risks? And are you doing that in a way that's calm, even when things are chaotic? Glenn, I can't say enough about you giving your time to us like this. Our listeners are going to take a ton away from it. You're a busy guy, superintendent, lots of accolades. You've broken this down for us. Everybody who's listening is going to buy your book. They're also going to go and look at stoicism and what that means for us as leaders and our brains. Is there anything else that we didn't ask that you would like to answer? Another call to action, something that we didn't bring up that you think our listeners could benefit from as we wrap up?
No, I think that's something you both mentioned earlier. You know, we're in this together. A lot of times we feel alone. And if we're not working together and having those collaborative conversations, just randomly DM somebody on social media and say, hey, I follow your work. I respect you. Can you please maybe help me out or give me some guidance? You know, whether it's a resume, whether it's a CV, whether it's an interview, whether it's I'm dealing with this situation. You know, as you guys mentioned, I do that all the time. I call select superintendents all over the country and say, I've already done this situation 10 times. I'm about to do it number 11. What would you do? If we're not working together, then what good are we doing? And I think that's the biggest thing that I see in the Northeast is a lot of competition. And I think that that's a really bad thing to do. I understand the competition part for sports, but I look at the collaborativeness that could be done and do so much more. You know, if we didn't compete against each other for certain, you know, programs in our districts and so forth, and we actually work together to get, you know, whether it's to save on finances, to order a giant bulk order of something or whatever it may be, or we're working on projects together to build a community aspect or, you know, part of the state or whatever it may be. There's just so much opportunity for us to help each other and to grow other leaders, you know, and learn so many great dynamic things that if you think it's a competition and or you let your ego in, you know, you're not going to accomplish much. So check the ego at the door, listen to as many people as you can, ask questions at least 5 times and be, you know, prideful of who you are and what you're doing, but know that you are not the be all end all. You are there to serve and your goal is to get served and get better each and every day by work with everyone else. So that's my call to action, you know, and staying grounded, because people will look at you in different ways, you know, they'll misperceive how you look. You know, you might look angry one day and they're going to say, oh my God, he looks angry. This is something wrong. You know, like you mentioned earlier, you have to stay that calm, stoic. I'm not saying put your emotions aside and bottle them up and then blow up later. I'm a big Seinfeld guy. So no insanity now, you know, serenity now. You have to be able to have an outlet, which I hope you do. But at the same time, your people are looking to you for guidance. And if you have great counterparts that are mentoring you and leading with you, you can provide the right guidance, hopefully, for your staff and your community.
Hey, it's fantastic. Calm in the Chaos. Pick up Glenn's book. It's a nice way to put a bow on the show here, Glenn, by telling leaders that, you know, our job is to lead the learning, to lead the folks, but also to reach out, to stay grounded, and to find growth opportunities. And we do that by connecting with others. You can reach out to us. You can DM us. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, all the socials. Reach out to Glenn. We would love it if you listened to this podcast and you wanted to know more, or you wanted another resource and you reached out to any of the three of us. We're on the socials, like we said, DM, and we'll be in touch. I do that almost every day, by the way, on LinkedIn, more on LinkedIn than anywhere else, but on LinkedIn and X or Twitter. And people are gracious. They get right back to you. They get right back to you. They're there because they want to connect. They're there because they want to learn too. They want to build a network. You meet up at conferences. You see people, places. You do edu talks and coffee talks. I think Joe was just at a coffee talk at AASA with people you didn't know. And you just learn so much that way. It's not a zero-sum game, folks. Leading schools is not a zero-sum game. We can all do it better, and we need to do that by doing it together with what Glenn says here. And there you have it. As always, another great podcast from here at the Schoolhouse 302. Don't forget to follow the blog at theschoolhouse302.com. That's theschoolhouse302.com for blog posts, podcasts, video blogs, book recommendations, and more, always on the topic of leadership. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Leading Better and Growing Faster with Joe and TJ on the topic of the relationship between stoicism and school leadership and so much more with Glenn Robbins. Glenn, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Hey leaders, before you go, one more announcement. We now have available for you our Candid and Compassionate Feedback Masterclass. Really, because of high demand, we are thrilled to offer this. This is a course that we run live and in person all the time, and leaders love it. They learn to give feedback with skills that they can use right away, including better praise to lift and celebrate your team. It's now available in a virtual online format that you can take on your own, self-paced, from the comfort of your office or home.
Here's what you'll get. There are 11 lessons with a focus on 9 candor cancellations that we wrote in our Candid and Compassionate Feedback book. These are mistakes that leaders make that we don't want you to make anymore. We'll teach you models so that your feedback is meaningful, and we'll give you tools necessary to build the culture that you always wanted. Trust us, without these critical skills, you're not capitalizing on your own capacity to lead better and grow faster. Go to the site, theschoolhouse302.com, click on Shop Courses, add this course to your cart, and start learning today.